Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, what happens when sinister ideologies collapse? What causes that? When we go through a pretty amazing story that just happened in the last couple hours about how the ideologues are finally on defense. Support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today. Turning Point USA is the educational vehicle that will help save America. tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Email me directly, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. Every ideology has a breaking point. Every ideology, when put under proper examination, can eventually fall apart. What is an ideology? An ideology is a set of ideas, sometimes in esoterically, kind of in the clouds. An ideology is a system of ideas and ideals from which one build a political or economic system. It's where people derive the basis for their policy. So when we say someone is ideological, it's usually something that we don't consider to be very favorable. Now, you can be ideologically pure. You could believe in Western values, separation of powers, the consent of the governed, independent judiciary, or you could be ideologically corrupted. Now, the problem with ideology, as Alexander Solzhenitsyn said in his phenomenal book, The Gulag Archipelago, which largely brought down the Soviet Union, is he had that famous quote. He said, "All the suffering, all the death, all the gulags, all the mass murdering was thanks to ideology." That ideology at times can direct you and inform you, but you must live in the real world. You must admit nature. You must understand that there are the laws of nature and nature's God. There are some truths that do not change, regardless of your effort or your will. Every ideology that has ever been put in front of people eventually can reach a breaking point, albeit it sometimes takes way longer than we would like, an almost frustrating long period of time. So there's an ideology that has seeped into district attorney offices, into legal offices, and it's been going for 30 or 40 years. We've been trying to warn about it for quite some time on this program. For quite a while, we were not taken seriously. We were told that this is a fringe ideology, that this was only in academic circles, and it wasn't worthy of study or consideration. It comes from a basic belief that people commit crimes not because of anything that might be wrong with them or in the nature of a human being, but instead they commit crimes because of the environment around them. They commit crimes because they see too many police officers. They commit crimes because of free market systems. They commit crimes because they don't have anything themselves. Now, this sort of belief was incubated and perfected. And it has, I'll be very honest, there's an expansive amount of literature supporting this insane ideology. I've been battling it for nearly a decade on college campuses. When I would tell this to some of our donors and supporters, they just wouldn't believe it. They'd be like, "People believe that, whatever." Well, this might actually grow into higher levels of power eventually. It really wasn't taken as seriously as it probably should have. And so in many academic circles, this is a normative belief. This is something that is well accepted. They believe that crime comes from things around you, not anything within you. So therefore, they believe that if you stop enforcing the law and change the law itself, get rid of the police, defund the police, then you can actually change human nature itself. Now, this ideology is so patently untrue on its face that it never really had a fair hearing, I put in air quotes, to get implemented into any of our cities. But then, of course, Floyd happened. And we had, as we call it on this program, Floydapalooza. Mass rioting, looting, murder, rape, targeting of police officers, the disintegration of our cities. And there was kind of this collective agreement that occurred, especially in cities like San Francisco and New York and Los Angeles, that we now need to embrace this radical deconstructionist ideology that is rooted not in empirical data, not in shared life experience, but instead in an unfounded fringe promise that somehow we can usher in utopia by the abolition of this idea of being owned private property, the abolition of prisons, which is a growing movement on the left, and that with the kind of this combined effort, heaven on earth can be ushered in. Now, this is a widespread argument that we experience on college campuses with the work we do at Turning Point USA. However, for years, there is not someone who is willing to really financially back this ideology. You see, this ideology was always present in Democrat or left-wing circles, but generally, kind of, Democrats said, okay, we got to stop short of doing this because this makes no sense, and the activists would get very angry. That is until a certain benefactor, a financier who believes in this ideology, who believes the police are instruments of fascism, who believes that prisons create more crime, who believes in systemic inequality and systemic racism. This financier, of course, was George Soros. George Soros believes this at his core. Now, do I believe that Soros has something more malevolent? Yes, I believe he wants the full and total complete destruction of Western civilization and the United States of America. But Soros also believes, as one of his top projects on the Open Society Foundation, that the criminal justice system itself is the problem. Not the, like, how long the sentences are, no. But the whole philosophy governing Western law has a false premise. And so all of these fringe ideologies, for quite some time, they never were able to get any traction. There'd be a couple activists here and there, and they'd be like, yes, defund the police, no more prison sentences. We should decriminalize rape. We should allow people to do mass looting. And it just, when people hear that, it doesn't make any sense. And no one would want to donate to that until George Soros came on the scene. George Soros, being a firm believer in this ideology, poured millions of dollars into district attorney races across the country, while conservatives had no idea this was happening. This kind of connects to our conversation yesterday rather perfectly, where we said conservatives were asleep while the left took over our institutions. So Soros poured in millions of dollars to the district attorney race in Chicago with Kim Fox, into New York City, and yes, into San Francisco. Soros became the chief sponsor, the chief subsidizer of this movement, of the abolish prison, abolish private property, open up the society from any sort of enforcement. Basically what Soros did with his millions of dollars and his tens of billions of dollars of influence in the Open Society Foundation is he was able to subsidize the movement of these ideas from college campuses into the cities of America. It did not happen on its own. But by being able to pour money into these races, now these fringe lunatics, these academics that believe that crime is nothing more than a construct, and that if you rape or steal or plunder or murder, there must be something wrong with society, not something wrong with you, and that if we send you off to prison, that's actually an unfair punishment. Now they had the ability to make their case, quote-unquote, in air quotes, with tons of money to the people of San Francisco, Los Angeles, Chicago, and New York. Now, the good news is that every ideology has a breaking point. That even the most well-funded machine of bad ideas eventually can shatter. But we've been living this. If you go to San Francisco recently, I did. It is unrecognizable. It's one of America's great cities. It was one of America's great cities. Widespread looting, defecation, homelessness. But it's not by mistake. It was subsidized. It was put forward by Soros in these district attorney races. But the good news that I have to share with you is that the ideology is breaking. It's shattering. It's collapsing. I'm going to tell you why and how. Look, over the years, you've probably tried different investments in stocks and mutual funds. So now you know they could be up or down or all over the place. But with inflation running at 8.5%, probably even higher than that, the highest rate for 40 years, do you need uncertainty? Being able to sleep at night knowing your investments aren't about to crash is worth its weight in gold. And speaking of gold, if you've been jumping from one investment idea to the next, a gold IRA with Noble Gold is perfect. With gold, you'll shield your gains from taxes, you'll keep the real value of your wealth, you'll own a global asset, something tangible, and you'll protect your wealth against an economic crash. What is not to like? And this month, for every cash deal above $20,000, you get an incredible 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin completely free as a thank you. You can't go wrong with Noble Gold. Call 877-646-5347 now to find out more at noblegoldinvestments.com. They're a phenomenal company. I really think highly of them. noblegoldinvestments.com. Own things you can touch at noblegoldinvestments.com. You know, when you look at these ideologies, you must understand where they come from. I know this is something that is not frequently discussed in, let's say, mainstream media circles, but they, look, there were three social contract theorists that wrote in the 1700s. First was Hobbes. Thomas Hobbes, John Locke, and Jean-Jacques Rousseau. Thomas Hobbes believed that human nature was nasty, brutish, and short. John Locke had a mixed view, but basically he believed in a blank slate, or what was called tabula rasa. Jean-Jacques Rousseau had a different belief, and he inspired a lot of what was called romanticism in the 1800s. Jean-Jacques Rousseau believed that we should value the kind of the spirit of the infant is more important than that of the adult, that we must understand the primitive more than the civilized, that human nature was naturally pure in the state of nature. So they all wrote extensively about this and disagreed about a lot. Now, the problem with Rousseau's view of human nature is it's so basically untrue. It's so evidently untrue when you see how people actually act. That we, of course, are a mixture of good and bad, but we definitely have bad in us. We have inclinations to sin, to steal, to cheat, to lie. So you have to teach goodness to children. And so the ideologies that have been basically raining terror over our cities, this idea of no private property, of no enforcement of the law, of the abolition of police, it all kind of hit a breaking point yesterday. Thanks to George Soros' subsidy, an unbelievably radical person became district attorney. That person's name is Chesa Boudin. Chesa Boudin was elected recently, and under his leadership as district attorney, started to see a massive spike in crime in San Francisco. Murder was up 11%, rape up 9%, and just the entire aesthetic of San Francisco started to fall apart. Homelessness, vagrancy, looting. The quality of life of San Francisco went down considerably. It went down objectively. And yesterday, voters went to the polls. And in a stunning rejection, voters rejected this not just soft on crime, but tolerating of crime ideology by over 61%. 61% of people in San Francisco voted to recall Chesa Boudin. An amazing rejection of these ideas. And this is in San Francisco, which again goes back to this point that every ideology eventually reaches a breaking point, especially and in particular the ideologies that are so at odds with human nature. And so we ask ourselves the question, what drives people to commit crimes? Is it the fact that there are police or that there's laws protecting against looting? Or is it something about the human nature and our maybe we have to do something better with education or family formation or having fathers? They don't want to talk about any of that. Instead, they believe in mass, aggressive, abrupt societal revolution. And what's amazing is that the people in the highest positions of power believe in these pathological ideas. And then they're using force to be able to implement them. But what we saw yesterday, and as the results have come out, a shocking repudiation of this. The people of San Francisco don't want to live under some sort of Berkeley ideology. They don't care if there's books written by some sort of smart guy, and I put that in air quotes, that tells them that the police are a tyrannical, oppressive, colonialist institution. They want the homeless person to stop defecating on their porch. They want to be able to walk down to Fisherman's Wharf and be proud of their city again. They don't want to become the laughingstock of America, and they know it. Property values, I don't know what's happened in San Francisco. I think they might have gone down slightly, but hard to believe with all the dollar bills out there, they've collapsed. But they certainly aren't keeping up with other areas, such as Phoenix or Vegas. I know, at least even with liberals that I know, when they go to San Francisco, they know it's become a complete and total mockery of what it used to be. Heroin injection sites, no prosecution for looting, a complete and total relaxing of criminal standards. But it's all ideological until the people rise up against it. I'm sure a lot of you are wondering how you can learn about things that are good, true, and beautiful. Well, I've talked about Hillsdale College for a while. But look, there's a video I want you to see. It's the trailer to Hillsdale College's newest free online course, C.S. Lewis on Christianity. We talk a lot about current events on the show, but some things are more important than today's news. And C.S. Lewis was a master at addressing life's most important questions through vivid language that's entertaining and fascinating. You may know Lewis as the author of The Chronicles of Narnia, but he's also considered the greatest Christian apologist of the 20th century. As a radio host, I appreciate Lewis's ability to communicate and inspire. In fact, not a lot of people don't know this, but Mere Christianity, his book, began as a series of radio messages. Hillsdale's free online course covers C.S. Lewis's profound insights into good and evil, prayer in the Bible, and even heaven and hell. And did I mention his course is entirely free? So go watch the trailer video of C.S. Lewis on Christianity and sign up for this new free online course at charlieforhillsdale.com. That's charlieforhillsdale.com. Look, charlieforhillsdale.com, you guys should go there at least once a week. You guys can get online courses, sign up for Imprimis, learn about Aristotle, learn about the Constitution, learn about the Declaration, learn about the Federalist Papers. It's charlieforhillsdale.com. Again, Charlie, F-O-R, Hillsdale.com. The ideology of open prisons, abolition of prisons, has now reached a breaking point. 61% of San Francisco voters have voted to recall Chesa Boudin. Now look, these sinister ideologies, they tend to collapse quicker when the people are active and aware. This is the argument for why you must be consuming news, aware of what's happening around you. You must be always constantly processing information and understanding what's happening around you. Now, it doesn't hurt when ideologies involve like defecation on your front porch or your daughter getting mugged on the way to school. It tends to make these ideologies evaporate quicker. Now, the person behind all of this, and I just want to reiterate it, is George Soros. Not behind the recall, but behind getting Chesa Boudin into place. And make no mistake, the recall of Chesa Boudin is a direct recall of George Soros himself. George Soros, who has put millions of dollars into these races. Now, when you dive into it, it's incredible to think how much money George Soros and his affiliated groups have involved themselves in these elections across the country. George Soros has helped elect over 75 social justice prosecutors in cities across America. In cities where George Soros has helped get these district attorneys elected, jailings have plummeted and crime has surged. There's a 17-page report that was compiled by the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund. And a decade of spending has put Soros prosecutors in enough big cities that they represent one in five people in America, or about 72 million people. That includes about half of about 50 of the most populous cities in America and counties where 40% of the U.S. homicides occur. Soros has been hard at work while we as conservatives have been building families, businesses, churches, and stronger communities. Soros has been pumping in millions of dollars to be able to implement these ideologues. You find a college campus activist who wants the abolition of police, who says looting should not be prosecuted against in San Francisco under Chesa Boudin. If it is less than $1,000, you will not be prosecuted. You've seen video after video of people going to Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, and just taking whatever they want. You can't run a business that way. You cannot have capital investment and then all of a sudden have the community take whatever they want, whenever they want. Why would you have a business? It wouldn't exist. When I was in San Francisco just a couple years ago with the great Candace Owens and Dave Rubin, right after a speech at University of California, Berkeley, we went right near the Transamerica building. And this was when San Francisco was even better then than it is now. Parked right outside the Transamerica building, went to the only restaurant that was open right nearby. We came back to our car about an hour later. All the windows were smashed. Dave Rubin's backpack was stolen. He actually points to that story as one of the radicalization moments in a good way that made him more conservative and helped bring him over to our camp. He's a great man. But Soros has been involving himself in the investment of these DAs and the investment of these prosecutors. Over the past decade, George Soros has spent $40 million. Think about that, $40 million to elect 75 of his chosen prosecutors. In campaigns from Houston to LA to Philadelphia and Orlando, George Soros was the campaign's biggest spender by far. And this is what's so incredible. And as much as 90% of the dollars spent in some races. So I'm just going to ask a question. What is America's greatest foreign enemy? You might say Iran. You might say China. You might say Putin and Russia. I would disagree it's Russia. I'm no fan of Putin. He's a scumbag, but I don't think it's America's greatest enemy. But just pick anyone. Pick one. Pick anyone. Pick a enemy of the United States, and let's isolate that. The Ayatollah Khamenei, or Xi Jinping, or how about Kim Jong-un, ISIS. Pick any one of them. If you've sat them down in a private meeting and you said, what would you like to see happen in America when it comes to the inner cities and criminal justice? They would say, I think it would be great if America stopped enforcing their laws, opened up their prisons, and created anarchy on the streets. Now, I'm not saying Soros has the same level of malevolence as maybe the Ayatollah Khamenei, but it's certainly close. Ask yourself, who has done more to deteriorate the living standards of the daily life of Americans? Vladimir Putin or George Soros? It's a very fair question. Yes, and of course, George Soros hasn't invaded a sovereign country. George Soros hasn't declared war on Ukraine. Fair. But George Soros has pumped in $40 million to elect 75 of his chosen prosecutors to make crime more widespread and to further accelerate the war on police. So it's just a very simple question. Who has done more to deteriorate the living standards of your daily life? George Soros or a foreign dictator? If you wanted the downfall of America, if you wanted this constitutional republic to shatter, if you wanted this great nation to be obliterated, if you wanted all those things, then you'd be doing this exactly. 90% of all the dollars spent in some of these district attorney races came from George Soros. 90%. I want you to think about that. 90% of all the money spent in these races came from one man. According to the Washington Examiner, quote, Soros is not done yet. He's already spent another $1 million so far this year on his hand-picked district attorneys. So while we as conservatives are focused on national races, we should be, focused on congressional races, we should be, and now we're starting to get interested in school board races, we should be, I'm so happy about that. How often are conservatives actually focused on district attorney races? The answer is not at all. By using these ideological identitarian movements of Black Lives Matter and of abolish the police and abolish prisons, and you might think that the abolish prisons thing is a joke. No, you can go to their website. I have their website pulled up right here. It's called Prison Abolition, the Marshall Project. It's called The Case for Abolition. We have grown wary of worn-out debates over the feasibility of a world without prisons. And they write that we need one right now. And where do they say they want to do it first? New York and Los Angeles and San Francisco. Our belief in abolition is first and foremost philosophical, they say. Of course it is, obviously. There's no way it could be empirical. It has to be in the clouds. It grew from watching, experiencing, and opposing decades of reliance on concrete and steel cages as a catch-all solution to social problems. We want a society that centers freedom and justice instead of profit and punishment. Let me just say, if you rape somebody, I think you should be punished, and I don't think you should have much freedom. Soros is a big believer in this sort of idea. I don't know if he funds the Marshall Project or not, but he's certainly a believer in this. The Abolition Project continues by saying, locking up people does not provide adequate housing, proper mental health treatment, or living wage jobs. Maybe they should have thought of that before they committed the crime. Nor does it make us safe in any other way. No, actually, I think we're much safer that Ted Kaczynski's in jail. I think we're much safer that Eric Rudolph is in jail. I think we're much safer that the scumbag that did the Parkland shooting is in jail. Moreover, the Prison Abolition Project writes, reforms that embody electronic monitoring or other form of incarceration build gender-responsive jails or broaden the scope of parole and other forms of control only deepen our conviction that fundamental change is the only path. We value our philosophy. While we value philosophy, we've grown wary of worn-out debates over the feasibility of a world without prisons and whether we would like to abolish prison for Dylann Roof. We prefer to talk about what we do. Amazing. How do they know this? Experience. It's their truth. This is what Soros is behind. Not necessarily this project, but this is the philosophy that he's behind. I want to play Cut 52. Fox reports Soros spent $40 million electing his chosen prosecutors. Play Cut 52.
The Washington Examiner reports liberal anti-police billionaire George Soros has been making astronomically high campaign donations. Soros and his groups have helped to elect 75 social justice prosecutors. The social justice partisan quotes, you see. It's in cities where they are putting far fewer people behind bars, even as crime is exploding. The report says in the past decade, Soros has spent $40 million electing dozens of his chosen prosecutors.
$40 million. So while some rich people buy Gulf Streams, yachts, large houses in the south of France, George Soros decides to spend his wealth and his money, that he got, by the way, largely because of shorting the currency and nearly destroying the British pound. Just an interesting side note. He decides to use his money to make your cities less safe and to ideologically revolutionize the political terrain in America. But here's the good news. The good news is that people aren't buying it once they try it. San Francisco got their full dose. The Soros, Chesa Boden, open up the prisons, abolish the police, defecate everywhere, public nudity is the norm, injection heroin sites, homelessness is given a priority more than people that pay a mortgage. People hate it. They don't want to live under it. And this is the great takeaway, is that the abstractions that we are living under are about to descend into reality and voters aren't going to put up with it. We need a transition to green energy. Actually, I want gas not to be $10 a gallon. We can abolish the police. Actually, I want my daughter to be able to walk safely down the street. We can teach your kids anti-racism. Actually, you're doing the opposite. You're teaching them to be racist. This here is the beginning of the shattering of the abstractions that we have been living under. And it's a stunningly promising development. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? Producer Andrew's right here doing an Ironman thanks to Relief Factor. And truth is, I know there are millions of people. In fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older. That can do it, getting older, which is why I'm so impressed with the people at ReliefFactor.com. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. They recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back pain, neck pain, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pain, then I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start, still discounted, only $19.95. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now, ReliefFactor.com. You should order the three-week quick start too. Discount only $19.95. See if it will work for you. I think it possibly could. Give your body what it needs to heal itself. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now. So who is George Soros, by the way? We were getting some emails. And I just assumed people kind of knew about him. So he was born in Hungary. A very suspicious story with how he made his money and his involvement with his family. I'm not going to get into all of that, but by his own admission in a 60 Minutes interview, it's very dark. I don't say this lightly. He's an evil person. Soros made a lot of money through what is known as the Soros Fund Management, renamed it the Quantum Fund. He is definitely brilliant. He is not dumb. Do not underestimate him. Made a lot of money shorting currencies, especially in the 1992 Black Wednesday currency crisis, as I said, shorting the pound. And so he's given a lot of money to now the Open Society Foundation. If you look up George Soros' net worth, it says he's worth $8.6 billion. Well, George Soros' net worth 3 years ago would have been $25 billion. He just did he basically parked about $25 billion, about $20 billion, if you will, into the Open Society Foundation. George Soros is 91 years old, and he has a son that is even more radical than he is. And that son is named Alexander Soros. Alexander Soros is the heir apparent of the Open Society Foundation and his father's wealth and his influence. So what does Soros actually want? Soros is an ideologue. Soros believes that America is not an exceptional nation. He does not believe in Western values. He does not believe in individual liberty. No, Soros has an ideological crusade that he has been launching his entire life. If you go to the Open Society Foundation, which I encourage you to do, you could fact check all that we do here, by the way. They're very transparent. The Open Society Foundation works to build vibrant and inclusive democracies whose governments are accountable to their citizens. Sounds innocent enough, right? Well, you look through it, he doesn't believe in borders. He doesn't, and one of his top initiatives is criminal justice reform, otherwise known as, criminal justice reform is fine in one sense, but if you look what he actually believes in, justice reform and the rule of law, he spent $84.3 million from the Open Society Foundation just in the calendar year 2020 on criminal justice reform, which of course is an extraordinary thing. So here's one that's amazing. There's a picture on the Open Society Foundation website of a Seattle police officer with a woman in what appears to be a tent under the heading Reforming Drug Laws, in a homeless woman that seems to be prepared to or possibly doing drugs in that picture. It's on the Open Society Foundation website. Fair policing is one of their goals. Yeah, of course. Now, when Soros gives this money to the political candidates, he does not give it to them through his 501c3 Open Society Foundation. It's a political donation, but they all work in harmony and they work in tandem together. This is something that everyone needs to know about. His goal is to undermine the Constitution, to deteriorate American exceptionalism, but I do want to just kind of break this apart, which, again, it goes back to the amazing Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who I encourage all of you to study and read the Gulag Archipelago. It almost single-handedly brought down the Soviet Union. It's all thanks to ideology. When you have someone with a lot of money and they believe in some sort of sinister ideology, you have a really bad combination. And that's Soros. He believes in this ideology so firmly that he thinks he is going to be able to bring heaven on earth. No exaggeration. And more hell on earth has been created in the attempt of trying to bring heaven on earth than any other project in human history. Let me say that again. More hellish living has been brought to our planet with people they thought that they were bringing heaven. We say good intentions don't always lead to good public policy. It's even worse than that. If you think you're bringing heaven on earth, you're probably going to bring the opposite. But here is the final takeaway. Soros lost. All of his money, all of his propaganda. And by the way, Soros just bought a bunch of Hispanic radio stations under the rug. $60 million of Hispanic, 18 major Spanish radio stations. Wish conservatives would be thinking like that, but they don't. But Soros lost this race in San Francisco. He implemented CHESA, he funded CHESA, and the people of San Francisco wanted nothing to do with it. We are stronger than him. We just have to rise up, we have to mobilize, we have to organize, and then we will win. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.